Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
I'm fucking happy to be back in Chicago, man. Great show so far today. Thank you guys so much for coming out. And, live Part of the Problem. We always have fun with these, Robin. We'll do like questions and stuff for most of this.
Haven't been shot yet.
Yeah. Well, it is. I was talking about this in the stand-up show a little bit, but it is funny. Like, I think there's something really interesting about it, particularly right now with all the talk about gun control, where all the Democrats are trying to push like huge gun control, and the Republicans are shockingly in complete agreement. And but so you come out here to Chicago, where gun control is doing a great job. Everything's under control because of those laws. But even aside from that, what I think is really interesting, this is what I was talking about on the last show, was like when you come to Chicago, you know, people will be like, and I know you guys live here and shit, but they go, you know, okay, so Chicago's like, oh my God, the gun violence is out of control. But then you're like, yeah, but not where I'm going. You know what I mean? Like, where I'm going, it's going to be fine. Mostly white. But there's no correlation. But I'm just saying, it's always over here. It's in this little corner. You know what I mean? And that's true in general of, like, where real violent crime is in the country. It's always been like that. It's not as if, like, the country has this huge violent crime problem. It's like there are these areas that have huge violent crime problems. Now, the point is just that it's like, it's not about the policy. Because the gun control policy is the same all throughout Chicago. So if the policy were the problem, you would think the violence would be the problem all throughout. But it's not. So obviously something else is going on here. It's not even whether you have gun control or don't have gun control. It's like, oh yeah, there's fucking heavy concentration of gang culture in these areas. And that's, like, if you when you break down the numbers, right, it's like, was it something like 30,000+ gun deaths a year? 2/3 of them are suicides. Then of the other, you know, whatever, 11,000-12,000 that are left, it's like, what percentage of it is gang violence? I think like 70% or something like that. So it's like, that's the whole fucking problem. We don't have like a fucking problem with, if you take that out of it, if you remove the suicides and then remove the gang violence, there's like no gun violence problem in America.
Well, there's a lot of husbands killing their wives. I actually think husbands killing their wives might...
Was she getting in his face, though?
Let's switch mics. I don't know why mine's louder.
Is that better? Why did we switch?
Because you talk more and that mic's louder. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to... I didn't understand that for a second. I go, if there's a problem with one, then what would switching solve? we still have the same issue. But my point is just that it's not like, it's like people don't break it down the right way and feel like it's this like huge problem. It's like, no, we have one specific thing. which is that we have a gang violence problem in the country. And that's all because there's fucking black markets that are created by prohibition. So adding a prohibition on guns doesn't do shit to do that except increase the fucking black markets. Just fucking legalize drugs and fucking try heroin once. And problem solved.
You gotta look at it this way. If you got rid of black criminals and cheating whores...
Jesus, Rob, we're still... We're still trying to stay on YouTube. I mean, my thing was subtle.
It's late at night. They're a drunk crowd. I want to get to the point. You know, I don't want anyone being confused about how they can avoid the gun violence.
Well, Jesus. All right. First of all, I disavow. I disavow Rob and everything he said. But I do think it's like, if all the law-abiding citizens in that community, maybe they were allowed to be armed, they'd do a lot more to deter the fucking criminals from fucking shooting everybody. Either that or we burn it all down. I don't really know, but go ahead. The cheating whores, you think they're the problems?
Oh, mostly. Yeah, absolutely. They're forcing their husbands to kill them. That's,
Ladies, how dare you put your husband in that awful position where he has to kill you?
And then here's the other part. If you took away the guns, then those women are just being beaten and stabbed to death. It's not really a win.
Yeah. So, probably going to last a lot longer.
Yeah. So guns make for more mercy kills. That should be the story.
There you go, guys. Problem solved. So I don't know what to tell you.
People don't want to look at these numbers. That's the issue. It's like the COVID stuff. They just don't really review the numbers. You review the numbers, and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Did you guys see Dan Crenshaw get fucking...
Lose his other eye?
Yeah, no. Other eye's fine. The other eye's fine for now. But that Alex Stein guy confronted him. Did you see that? Yeah. That guy's
cool sometimes.
He's fucking... No, he's hilarious, dude. I love it.
He had a bad moment with Ted Cruz.
Well, what did he do?
Well, he got in his face and he was just... Started off, good question, where he's like, you're more of a globalist because you're helping Ukraine more than the American people. But then, like, he just wouldn't shut up about the Cancun vacation in a way that actually was not fun or funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. It's fucking him going to those fucking, like... local government meetings and just rap.
Oh, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
It's just so goddamn funny. It's like, for whatever like legal reason, they just have to hear from all the people. So he's just like, I have a 9-minute rap prepared, and then just like fucking goes off. And they just all have to, and like the city council people or whatever are so humorless that they're just like, very good rap, sir. Because that's like what politicians are, basically, is they're all the people who are willing to go to, like, city council meetings and hang out long enough to move up one rank, up the next rank. They're the worst people amongst us, politicians. Like, the people who are willing to go to, like, a town of, like, 10,000 where 1,500 of them vote, and I got 51% of that vote because I just, like, they were like, I guess this person's willing to do it. And then they move up. So they're just all like these robots, and they just sit there, and they're kind of like, all right, who's next? And there'll be like some woman who's like, this is insane that you're masking up my kid. I mean, my God, you're ruining my child's life. And they go, thank you for adding who's next? And then Alex Stein's like, I have a rap prepared. And they're like, very good rap. Who's next? They have like no human feeling toward any of it. It's unbelievable. So, but I do, here's what I like about it, right? Alex Stein is kind of like, and I like people who break the fucking paradigm. So I like that he's made himself known as the dude who's like shitting all over, like, you know, whatever it is, like the COVID insanity and stuff like that, and mocking them. But then he's also going after these like Republicans and calling them out for being so full of shit. So I just kind of like that, because I think the whole dynamic in America right now that's really interesting. Like, did any of you guys see? I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but I shared it. Did you see Jimmy Dore's rant on Tucker Carlson the other night?
Beauty.
It was like incredible. Props. I lost my co-host. All right. That's how seriously. No, but it was incredible. If you guys didn't see it, like this. And first off, it's already so interesting to see Jimmy Dore on Tucker Carlson and them just agreeing about everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they already, that just like shatters so much of this, like, aren't you guys supposed to be fighting about, like, but then there's like this shit where it's like, what are we really, all the shit they would be fighting about is not nearly as interesting as what they're agreeing on. And Jimmy Dore is attacking it from a complete left-wing perspective. And Tucker Carlson's like, man, that all sounds right to me. Like, it's just an interesting thing. And so I like these people who kind of break this paradigm. Because the whole thing is that people got to realize, right, which I think most people do realize, that they're like, the Democrats and the Republicans aren't two teams who hate each other. They're one team who fucking all love each other and just pretend to hate each other. And then, like,
fuck us over.
Yeah. And then the inverse of that is that the right and left half of America are two teams that actually hate each other. But they shouldn't. Because we're all being fucked over by these two teams who are just pretending to hate each other. So it's like the left-wingers and right-wingers, like, we have nothing. What are we fighting over? That fucking, like, we're all getting fucked over by the same shit. We're all sitting here, like, you know, paying $12 for eggs or whatever. Like, so what are we even doing here?
Yeah, buck an egg, it should be cooked already. That's diner omelet prices.
That was a real thing, by the way, that I saw the other day in the store. And when I say I saw, I mean my wife told me that $13 for a dozen eggs. Now,
that should come with the chicken.
This was at Whole Foods, and it was like the real fancy schmancy organic eggs, but I'm not going to eat no fucking bitch eggs. You know what I mean? I'm going to have the best eggs that they can buy.
But at that point, if someone burns your eggs, you're like, I'll fucking kill you. Like,
listen, yeah. You never want to be in a situation where, like, your wife, like, drops an egg on the floor and you go, we need a divorce. You just destroyed us financially.
We're ruined.
Oh, my God, that was my retirement egg. Now what will I give my boy to carry on my legacy? It is pretty insane. They're saying this so $5 now, at least where we are. What's gas over here?
Six.
It's that high? It's up to six already?
$5.99.
Wow. That's when you know you're really fighting, where the general consensus was six and one guy went $5.99. Bunch of alarmists in this room. You're fine. Stop complaining.
Until he finds out that that's the cash price, looks at his credit card and goes, you bastards! I've been spending $603 this entire time.
That's fuck it. So right, so they charge you less if you pay cash.
No, the price they display is the cash price. But
right.
who's buying cash for gas? That doesn't happen.
And then if you wanna fucking write it off, you gotta ask for a receipt after your gas. Like
no,
an
you
asshole.
Just need a dedicated credit card for it.
No, I'm saying if you want the cash price. If you want to not pay the credit card price.
Oh, and write it off?
Pay the cash price, and then you want to write it off.
That's too much work.
Yeah, I know. You got. But it's just those things that make you feel like a fucking woman. You got to sit there and go, I'd like a receipt for that. It's not good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that as an insult to women. It's just that, you know, we have pride.
If you walk into a gas station asking for receipts, they're going to make you stand in the corner with those lottery people. You know what I mean? You're like, you're being an asshole. He's trying to divvy out some cigarettes and keep the shit moving along.
You ever see, like, I remember there was a Seinfeld episode about that, about him trying to keep all of his receipts so he could pay his taxes. Like, that used to be a thing. You actually, like, I don't know, in the 90s I didn't pay taxes. I was a child. But I pay taxes now, and the way it works now is I just really trust my guy to not steal everything. Like, he's just like, what's your bank login and, like, and password? And I'm like, here it is.
You're going to get Steve Harvey,
and he goes,
dude.
Oh, I really might. I might get Dane Cooked. But, but like, my Dane Cook situation, like, I don't have $200 million, so it would just kind of be like, my guy could just be like, I'll pay you back. I'd be like, all right, fine. Go ahead.
No, Steve Harvey, that's what happened to him. The accountant was saying he was paying the government and just printing those checks.
Yeah, I heard
about
that.
He ended up in like a $33 million hole.
Yeah, so Steve Harvey's accountant died. And then the people from his office called him and they were like, hey, dude, we don't know how to tell you this, but we're going through all your records here and it looks like none of your taxes were ever paid. And so the guy was just taking the money out and take and keeping it, and then sending him the like, oh, here's your here was your tax bill, and then he would just see the money deducted, and assume, you know, Steve Harvey, who's fucking, you know, I mean, he's a genius. He's made probably hundreds of millions of dollars and has like, I think he hosts like 6 daytime TV shows. But I probably should have taken a look at who charged you the money, because usually it says IRS next to it and not Harry. But somehow they took, yeah, they took like tens of millions.
And now he's got a prison sentence of spending his whole life pretending like what you said was really crazy. That's his whole life now. Just, I can't believe you would have said that. Dude. Bananas. Who would eat a banana?
Do you ever see...
I never watched daytime TV.
But you ever see, like, on the internet sometimes, Steve Harvey just giving life advice in commercial breaks on his show?
Yeah.
He has the best life advice, by the way. It'll just be, like, these daytime, like, fucking... The women you would think would be in the audience of like a daytime show, like Price is Right women, and in between, not Price is Right, what's his Family Feud he hosts, and then he'll, and they'll just be asking him for advice, and he just gives it, he still has that really like kind of like hood, cut your shit advice, even though he's hosting Family Feud. So they'll be like, Steve, like, I want a good man, but I just want someone to adjust to my schedule.
Bitch, you gotta like, suck his dick.
It's
if
not...
you're gonna try and keep your man.
It's not that far off. Like, he's a little bit classier than that, but that's basically what he does. He's like, what are you doing for this man? Say, so you want a man who has this? Well, what you got, bitch? You know what I mean? And like, he just like tears them apart. And then somehow he gets the audience to all applaud for him afterward. They're like, mm-hmm, that's true. That's true. You do gotta suck his dick. And like, it's one of my favorite things to find. Man, this episode is going all over the place.
I'm having a blast.
Are you pregnant, ma'am? Yeah, I knew she was. I wasn't going to just risk that one.
I had half a heart attack there.
No, I mean, listen. First of all, she's a...
water bottle.
She's a... You can tell that she's a thin woman with a belly, and she's holding the belly. If she wasn't pregnant, I'd go, this is on you. I don't know what to tell you. This is not... Is it your first? Congratulations. And you, it's yours, I assume? That'd be pretty weird if it wasn't you. You're like, no, I'm cheating with this guy. That's fun. This is it. This is the last freedom you guys have. So enjoy this process right now. Like right now, like if she gets pregnant again, you're not going to be out at my fucking live podcast when she's pregnant. You're going to be at home while she's trying to catch some little rugrat, you know? Have you guys talked about vaccinating the fetus? Do you want to be responsible on this or not? Every day that fetus is unvaccinated is another day that that fetus could catch COVID inside of your wife, sir. Do you even care about your family, sir? Now, if you vaccinate your fetus, it can still catch COVID, but you'll feel good. You can feel good. Has the CDC recommended that yet, Rob? Vaccinating fetuses?
Well,
I think we're almost there.
Pregnant women, yeah. So, close enough.
All right, guys, let's take a quick moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over $100 million, like Matthew B., who said, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill, and saved $840 a year on car insurance. I'll tell you, personally, I think I have never canceled a recurring subscription that I've ever subscribed to. I think I still have them all. I might have lost a debit card once or twice and they stopped using it. But aside from that, I'm subscribed to a bunch of stuff I don't need to be. So if you're like that, if you're like me, don't fall for the subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/POTP right now. Go to Truebill.com/POTP. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show.
They said, I remember one of the doctors said to my wife when she was pregnant. So we have, I've got like an 8-month-old, our youngest, so, you know, whatever, 8 months ago. When she was, but it was, she was like 5 or 6 months pregnant, so it was like over a year ago. And they, one of the doctors said to her, they go, so are you vaccinated? And she was like, no. And then they were like, well, you know, you really should get vaccinated because it seems like...
Man, they all just turn into such Jews.
Yeah, no, they really do. Well, I mean...
You really should. Maybe you should consider it. Like, just fucking whiny.
Oh, look.
Do they, like, keep going with it and call you every 3 days, like, you know, getting married type talk?
Well, Rob, I mean, you say turned into Jews. It's a doctor we're talking about. So. 85% chance they started off as a Jew. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking back. Was an Asian? Yeah, probably. But so they tell her to get vaccinated because they believe the baby will get some of the antibodies. And then I think I asked, like I was in the room, so I was like, have you guys seen a lot of babies come out with COVID? And they go, no, only a handful. And I go, of those handful of babies, how have they done? She goes, they've all had great results. And I go, so what the fuck are we talking about here? What is this? What are we talking about? I had a weird, my daughter's pediatrician said at one point, and she's too young. I mean, now I guess not, but at the time, she was too young for them to try to push it on her. But the pediatrician asked me if I'm vaccinated. And I was like, no. And he goes, well, why not? And I was like, I don't really want to get into a whole thing here, man. I was like, can you tell me like what percentile height my daughter is and then we could keep this moving? You know, like, I don't know. And it was right before the Omicron variant spread around. This is what's so crazy about the whole thing is that these are like doctors. And by the way, I think this guy's a good pediatrician. I really like him a lot. And he's a very smart guy, clearly. But he goes to me, he goes, I think I told you this. Maybe I said it on the podcast, but I'll repeat it. But he goes, it was right when the Omicron thing was tearing through South Africa, and they were predicting it was about to come here. And he goes, you really should get vaccinated just to protect yourself and everyone around you because this Omicron variant's going to be here soon. And I go, does the vaccine protect against this new variant? And he goes, honestly, we just don't know. And I was like, okay, all right. And then we talked for a little bit more, and then he said, and then he goes, well, you know, the reason why the Omicron tore through South Africa so quickly is because their population isn't vaccinated at all.
Must also be why their survival rates were so good.
Well, right. But this is before we knew that, exactly, right. Even though there was some indication of that, but he goes, the reason it tore through is because they were unvaccinated. And I go, but didn't you just say we don't know if the vaccine works against Omicron? And he goes, yeah. I don't know, it was just like this moment where you're like, dude, am I in a Naked Gun movie? Like, I thought you were a doctor. Like, who am I talking to right now? Bizarre.
I had a fun one with the doctor. He asked me, and then he started giving me this whole lecture, and he goes, and excuse me, young man, where is it that you're getting your information from online? And I just laughed because I was like, if only you knew how many people were listening to me on this one. I'm like, I'm literally exactly what you hate, which is some idiot 30-year-old who's not a doctor, but is smart enough to know the CDC is lying.
But here's the thing that's actually scarier, right? Like, it's almost like if you're, maybe, take the example, like if you were a kid and there's an adult in the room who's like, no, this is the way you need to do it. And you're like, I don't think that's right. That's kind of like a weird space to be in. But then if you find out the adult's completely wrong and you're actually right, you're like, wow, that's even scarier. So I expect doctors to understand medicine more than me. But this guy who goes, look, the reason why Omicron tore through South Africa is because they're unvaccinated. It's like, well, okay, at the time that was somewhat plausible because it was just tearing through there. But then it came and tore through New York City. and tore through the United States of America and all of Europe and Israel and all of that. So you're like, no, actually, you were 100% wrong. That's not why it tore through this place, because it tore through all the vaccinated areas. Israel had their worst death stats of the entire pandemic during the Omicron variant. They were the most vaccinated country in the world. So it's like, ah, that's stupid. So first you feel like the kid who's like, yeah, you fucking idiot adult. You don't know shit. And then you're like, oh, fuck, the adults don't know shit. That's actually terrifying. Anyway.
Yeah, and then you still have to go to these people for care, which sucks.
Yeah, and that. But the
I don't
thing
trust
is
doctors for nothing no more.
Well, they are pretty good on other stuff. Like, they cleared up your gonorrhea.
Dave, that was an off-show conversation.
It's the least of what these people know.
The important thing, he said cleared up, okay? I'd like to stress that.
Let me be very clear. Rob has not won his battle yet, but it is, it's in remission. Yeah, so that's the new thing now, right, is that they just, the FDA approved vaccines for 5 and under, and the CDC immediately started recommending it. And they have, well, they have, if it makes you feel better, sir, as you're booing that, is it comforting at all to let you know that there are no studies at all that in any way demonstrate that it reduces, you know, hospitalization or death or anything amongst that of little kids? Probably because no little kids are hospitalized or die from it, so there's really no way to measure if it reduces it. And before YouTube gives me shit, when I say none, I mean statistically none. Like 5, whatever. It's like, but isn't that pretty crazy that after all this shit, like, you got Fauci, right, who sold, like, looked the American people in the eyes and told them, I'm the head doctor in charge of all of this. And he told you, if you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. And if you get the vaccine, you can't get it. You can't pass it along to anyone else. And now he is double vaccinated, boosted, and has a fourth booster, and is at home with COVID. And this same motherfucker goes, yeah, now you got to give that to your 3-year-old. Like, we're living in some weird simulation, man.
Well, remember, it always could have been worse. If you hadn't listened, it would have been worse. It gets real bad, it would have been worse. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, it would have been, and you can't prove otherwise. Well, I think in this case, he actually could.
Yeah, probably. I saw someone, there was some blue checkmark journalist who tweeted this. I don't know, maybe one of you guys saw it, but she tweeted a thing that she goes, you know, all these people who are like, oh, look, you're vaccinated and you still got COVID. And then, because there's this data that showed that the people who have been boosted have gotten COVID more than the people who haven't been. And she goes, yeah, that's because they're still alive. And you're like, man. They go, what can you even say to that? You go, you're right. All right, I get, there's nothing that could ever get this person to admit that maybe they're wrong about that. You go, you're right. All of the unvaccinated are dead. That's why we're not getting this virus over and over again. We've just all been killed. Like, that's it's a very weird thing. I remember there was, you know, there's like this, I don't even know if you guys know, but there's like this little group of people within the Libertarian Party who like really hated me. Most of them left at this point because I took that whole bitch over. But they hated me. And it is somewhat fascinating to me. I think there's like many levels to what it's all about. I don't think it's as simple as just like they disagree with me on this issue or this issue. There's like something I represent that's against everything they represent. Like, there's these weird things. But one of them said, there were two examples that I remember. One of them said, this is like one of the real haters who would just every day, I think still this day, I muted him, so I don't know, but I think every day tweets about me. And he goes, you know, Dave calls out Joe Biden all the time, but I guarantee he'll never call out Trump. And so then someone responded to him and goes, well, I mean, Dave has said multiple times that Donald Trump should be in prison for life for war crimes. And he goes, I'd be shocked if that was the case. And so then, of course, he just starts getting flooded with people sending them video clips, tweets, all of, you know, like I've said it on Fox News a million times, I've said it on my podcast a million times, I've tweeted it, it's like everywhere. Like, not only have I said it, I've said it all over the time. And then someone went to him and go, okay, so now that you've seen 36 examples of it, can you admit that you're wrong? And he goes, no. He goes, I said I'd be shocked, and I am shocked, and I still don't like Dave. And so that was one. And then the other time, someone tweeted a thing. They go, notice Dave will never condemn racism. He'll never say that he's against racism. And so someone sent him a video. You just watch this on Twitter in the replies. And it's just a clip of me going like, yeah, racism is like retarded. I forget what I said. Or something. I go, it was in the Mises call, in the speech at the Mises event in 2021. It was like our biggest event in Pittsburgh. And I said, look, for the record, for all these bullshit accusations, we reject racism. Racism is collectivist, toxic, garbage. None of us, but you judge people as individuals, not by the race they belong to. And I sent them that video. And then they were like, oh, he's just saying that, you know? But the reason why both those moments stand out in my mind is because it was like a good, it was a good little thing to witness and go, okay, so then accept it. Nothing's going to convince these people. And that's like what you have to accept. Like, it doesn't mean you can't still be trying to convince as many people as you want to, but sometimes in life you have to accept that there are certain people who you're like, nothing is going to convince them. Like, if you can look at data that says the most vaccinated country in the world is having their highest death rate they've ever had from COVID, and go, I still believe in the vaccine, then okay, fine. You know, like, what's the point of even talking to this person anymore? If you can go, oh, why is it that the boosted are getting COVID more often than the non-boosted, and go, because the rest are all dead. You're like, just don't waste your time. There's only 24 hours in a day. Don't waste your time trying to convince that person. But it might be a good use of your time to humiliate that person in front of other people who can be convinced. That's what I've learned. I don't know. Where do you keep going?
The camera turned off, so I turned it back on. And
oh, that's
Jewy.
Cool.
I had to check the microphones, even though I did three times, you know? I like checking things. Makes me feel good.
So the camera turned off, but then turned back on?
And we're all set. I already checked it. So you can feel good, too.
Okay. Well, let's just make sure. I want the camera to be on, because I guess before we get to questions, we should cover the big news of the day. Biden fell off a bike.
What asshole put him on a bike? That's the better question.
It was, the people who put him on a bike went, like, they pushed him and went.
Right. They were, you know, they were the people standing around were like, wait, this was supposed to be like a Pete Buttigieg, like, photo thing. Like, he wasn't supposed to actually ride the bike.
But then Joe Biden gets on the bike and he's like, I'm 20. But it was better than the, it was better than the steps to the plane fall, even though he fell several times on those steps. It was funnier than anything. It was the best thing I've ever seen, because he, like, is riding his bike. He comes to a stop. Uh-oh. And then it just slowly starts to tip over. All this time that he knew and we knew and all of his people knew. They're like, fuck. Like, he's going down. Someone could have yelled timber at the time that Joe Biden was falling off his bike.
I actually have to come to his defense, because I'm guessing on what you were telling me, he was wearing clips, and it's happened to me.
I got caught in the pedal?
No. If you're clipped in, sometimes you come to a stop, you forget that you're clipped in, and you look like a cow in, like, Kentucky in the heat. It's really funny. You literally pull up right next to someone's car, they look over, and then you're just over. And then you gotta look over, and you're like, because they think you just died, but really it's because you're a spaz and you forgot that you're clipped into your bike. It happens.
Rob goes on a bike, you're like, you guys want to go Rob tipping? Knock him over.
Yeah, I don't know. That guy shouldn't be wearing clipping pedals.
I don't think he was clipped in.
Oh,
I think his feet came out and hit the floor, and then he just is Joe Biden.
Got you. Over. Well, anyway. I don't know who puts a guy with dementia on a bike or lets him lead a country. I don't get, like, both of those things are confusing to me.
Did any of you guys see, I thought this was pretty interesting, and if we were doing this episode, you know, with this in the studio or at home, we'd fucking have the clip, but so AOC was asked recently if she would support Joe Biden for re-election, and she fucking just beat around the bush. And she goes, well, I think Joe Biden's done a great job, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Like, it's just real. She's like, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I'm not going to tell you that I support him for re-election. And the New York Times had that article about how they think he might have lost a step, like, wow, maybe? You think so? And but it's interesting to see they're all turning on him. There's going to be a weird, you know, Jeff Deist, if you guys don't know who he is, he's the president of the Mises Institute. Great, unbelievable guy. Just like, literally one of my, first off, just a great person, but just one of my favorite people in the world to listen to. If you don't listen to Jeff Deist, read what he writes, listen to him on any podcast he's on. He's one of the, like, smartest and most thoughtful people that I've ever, like, known. Like, he's, he doesn't just tell you what, he never tells you just what you'd expect him to say. He's always really thinking about the moment and all this stuff. Anyways, very, very interesting guy. But he really believes that it's going to be Hillary Clinton versus Trump again in 2024. Because he goes, look, and he's got a plausible thing here. He goes, there's no way it's going to be Biden. And look, I really am starting to believe this more and more, that there's just no way Biden runs for re-election. First off, genuinely speaking, there's another 2 years. Like, Joe Biden's declining fast. I don't think he's going to be able to pull this off. The other thing is that he right now, and there's been a bunch of polls that show this, Joe Biden has amongst Latinos a 25% approval rating. You cannot win the presidency as a Democrat.
Yeah, because they're the ones that procreate.
Yeah, that's it. Not even in the future. I'm saying right now, a Democrat can't win a national election with 25% of the Latino vote. Like, that's impossible. And I think they're going to get to a point where they're like, they just can't go with him. And then it's like, do they go with Kamala Harris? Probably not. They find a way to get it. And then who else is there? Hillary is the only other person they have who could plausibly say, look, I got whatever she got, 65 million votes in 2016. I could get those again. What do they think? Pete Buttigieg is going to be the guy? Like, who's the next guy? Yeah, right. Elizabeth, I mean, these people, none of them are, they don't have a plausible other option. So, yeah, but you know the answer for why Bernie won't ever be the person. Because think about how much they freaked out when it looked like Bernie was going to win. Bernie's unacceptable to them. They're asking the Democrats to go with Bernie is like, you know, asking the Republicans to fucking back Trump or something, you know, like that's not going to happen. They'll do it if he beats them over the head to the point where he has 80% of the vote, but they wouldn't. And Bernie's also fucking 95 years old or something like that. I mean,
looks 110.
Huh?
He said he wouldn't run.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think Bernie's probably done running. I mean,
no, he said he wouldn't go against Biden. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to primary.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the event that Biden drops out somehow. See, I don't think it's even going to be a primary challenge. I think they would just find a way. And I think the way that what they could find is, I think they have a lot of dirt on Biden. And I think with the Hunter situation, you know, it's a pretty interesting, to go a little conspiratorial here. It's pretty interesting that what we know is that the Justice Department has been holding on to Hunter's laptop and that they have an active investigation going against him. Now, they haven't made clear what they're going to move forward with at all, but they seem to just be kind of holding this.
They're not going
to
do a week on TV about it?
Well,
that seems to be the new procedure.
Yeah, no, they're not.
All week, prime time.
No, there's no agenda to be reached by
get
a
get those Asian
week.
Kids on television.
Well, I think it's more of an insurance policy. That is just kind of like, look, they now have a play. They can either say, look, you want your fucking, your kid, who's, you know, your one son who seems to still at least like you. I mean, his other son is dead because he got him killed in Iraq. He didn't get him killed in Iraq, but he got him cancer in Iraq, and then he died when he came home. So he killed his good son. His crackhead son is still alive. His daughter, I don't know if you guys have even heard the shit Project Veritas was reporting about his daughter. Holy shit.
But didn't she have like a diary stolen that sounded like Biden Sr. did some creepy shit towards her?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, someone's got to teach you how to shower. You know? Well, when you were 12, your dad didn't make sure you were doing it right? That's, Dave, was I molested? Is that what I'm learning right here? In front of this crowd?
Yeah, shit. I don't know. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, is that that's how Rob finds out he was molested, is by reading about what Biden's daughter said, and he goes, that's normal. Everyone does that. And everyone's like, what? No, he's like, oh, shit.
You didn't have bubble bath time with daddy?
But anyway, so if they have this, if they're holding this over him, I mean, I think there will probably be ways for them to get Joe Biden to fucking leave. Although right now, he seems to be really loudly trying to send the message. I've never seen anything like it, where he's like having his press secretary announce that he's running in 2024. Like, when does a president ever need in their second year to announce that they're running? Like, yeah, obviously.
When they're half dead.
But, yeah. That's the answer.
All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Stamps.com. It's hard enough keeping your e-commerce business running smoothly with limited resources. Why not simplify shipping so you can worry about more important things? Stamps.com eliminates all your shipping stress by integrating with the most popular online shopping platforms to make labeling a breeze. Plus, you get access to deeply discounted shipping options and save about 100 trips to the post office with Stamps.com. For over 20 years, Stamps.com has helped over a million businesses save time and money on shipping. Stamps.com gets you incredible discounts on shipping, like up to 40% off USPS rates and up to 76% off UPS. It automatically connects to your stores, bringing together all of your shipping info from Amazon, Etsy, Shopify, eBay, and many more. Simply print your shipping label from any standard printer, stick them to your package, then schedule a pickup or drop them off. No traffic, no line. With Stamps.com's tracking tools and automated delivery notification emails, you can avoid those dreaded "where's my package" and "what's my return status" messages. And if you ever have a question, Stamps.com's award-winning US-based shipping support team is ready to help. So stop worrying about shipping. Start saving money today with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with my promo code PROBLEM, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital shipping scale, all with no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in PROBLEM. That's Stamps.com, and the promo code is PROBLEM. Stamps.com, easy e-commerce shipping for less. All right, let's get back into the show.
So anyway, we'll see what ends up coming with that. But I would not be completely surprised if it was Trump-Hillary. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something we're not even really thinking about. Is that weird? There's a lot of weird dynamics right now. Like, DeSantis really can't do it unless Trump passes the ball to him. And Trump don't pass. He's a chucker. You know what I mean? Trump's like, I'm wide open, and they're like, you're triple teamed, and he's like, I'm gonna take this shot. I feel like I've got, right? Like that's
a great way to.
You know, I don't think I just don't see. I don't see DeSantis.
I've never missed.
Yeah. He goes, sir, you're 0-for-8 on the game, and he
that's
goes,
fake news.
Wrong. No, those were all nothing but net. Goes, sir, that was an air ball. We all saw. So I just don't see a way. I don't see a way for DeSantis to really take on Trump in the Republican primary, even though I think DeSantis would be a stronger candidate, like in a general election. But I don't think there's a way for him to take on Trump.
If only there was a third party.
Well, there you go. Who knows what could happen there? But I'm just saying, I think it's better. I think the best thing would be for DeSantis to stay governor of Florida and fucking keep doing that. You're doing a good job there. You actually did something good. Why would you know, it's like the first time fucking, like, really in my life that you could really think of a concrete example where Republicans not only said something about freedom that was better than what Democrats said, but actually did something better than them. Would be like DeSantis and Kristi Noem and, you know, the anti-COVID regime governors. So then, of course, the Republicans are like, well, let's take him out of this position and put him in the presidency where he'll definitely sell us all out. So it's like, no, how about keep him there? Let him keep doing that. That seems better to me. All right, you want to fucking take some questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take some questions. Anything? If you guys want to come line up on the side.
Anything you guys want to ask.
And here we go. Don't fight each other, people. All right.
All right. How are you, sir?
Hi, I'm good. My wife and I had a kid like a week after you had your kid, so I really enjoyed listening to all your experiences on the podcast.
Fucking copycat.
Like you said, the FDA approved the vaccine for kids up, down to 6 months, and then the CDC recommended it today. And that means that America is the only country that's authorized and recommends vaccines for kids under two. Why do you think that is? Like, what about America or our government would make us the only country, or at least the first country, to be pushing this on kids this young?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, why are we the only ones? I mean, I think we have the most corrupt pharmaceutical industry of any country in the world. So, I mean, I think that's probably, you know, has something to do with it. Honestly, I think we're probably the most corrupt government in the world, in America. And
We're number one.
I mean, obviously, there are governments that are more evil to their own people. So it's a hard thing to measure, but like, we have the most powerful corruption, if that makes sense, right? So like, North Korea is more evil to their people than our government is to us, but our government makes way more fucking money for their cronies than North Korea does. I think that there were a lot of plans that were in place to guarantee huge profits to pharmaceutical companies for these vaccines, like all of the mandates and the passports, and a ton of them have failed. And so what's the best way to get these mandates in place? Well, the thing that there's precedent for lasting mandates is for vaccines is where? Public schools. I mean, that's like been just the norm for all of our entire lives. So I think that's the next move, is to make this just kind of like, yeah, your kid can't go to public school unless they have the vaccine. And that's why I'd highly recommend pulling your kids. Well, one of the reasons I'd highly recommend pull your kids out of the public schools if you can. I don't know, man. Like, this is just so, it's crossed a line that is so insane. I can kind of understand people going like, look, I'm going to get vaccinated because I'm going to lose my job and I just got to keep my job and all this. But like, you're going to, after knowing everything we know, after knowing that these vaccines do not work, and all of the evidence seems to indicate, if anything, they make you more likely after a few boosters to get it. You know, at best case scenario, what would you even be protecting your 6-month-old for another 6 months or something? You know, and for something that they have next to no risk of. I mean, the risk of like a healthy child 5 years or younger having a negative outcome from COVID is, I mean, there's, you should not cross the street if you're concerned with that level of risk. And the idea that you'd experiment on your kids like that, we have no idea the long-term effects of these vaccines. There's already been solid data that for, at least for young men, that their risk of myocarditis is increased by this stuff. You know, I don't want to even like be too, because I've never been someone who's too hyped on the like, the vaccines are killing everybody. I think people get a little bit goofy on that side, to be honest. You know, people go, someone passes out at a concert and they're like, oh, it was the vaccine, you know? It's like, all right. And the truth is that we've seen, these vaccines have been put in the arms of, I mean, hundreds of millions of people around the globe. And we haven't seen like a mass epidemic of like some huge side effect. It's not the New World Order trying to reduce,
I don't know,
us
the world's
down.
Running out of tampons. That's the article I read. So
that is,
I
that
think
is,
they just don't want to talk about the issues here.
That is one of the top problems in terms of gross. But but I'm just saying, it's like, I don't think this is some plot to reduce our population down to 200,000 people or whatever, you know, some Alex Jones type shit. But, you know, the risk of, what was it we were talking about, the numbers on our last podcast? The risk of myocarditis, I think, goes from, was it 3 in a million to 80 in a million or something like that? I mean, okay, that's still not
It's not likely it's going to happen, but who the hell would risk those numbers with their kid? I mean, who would play around with that? If anything, even if something's very unlikely, the idea that you would increase that risk for no benefit, it's just, I don't know. It's a very weird thing that people would be ready. You know, whatever. Again, there is wisdom in the Bible, whether you're religious or not. And what is like or one of the first stories in the Bible? I guess not the first, it's Adam and Eve. But is Abraham willing to sacrifice his kid for God? And then God tells him not to. So this idea that people
it's
will
like,
be
fuck,
willing.
Fuck, I already brought him here. You know? Built the fire and everything. What the fuck, God?
Abraham was like, God, I just had the most uncomfortable conversation with my wife. And now you're going to tell him not to. But
really make me look like an asshole, like, God.
if you think about this idea of people being willing to sacrifice their child for what they believe is their God, you know, I mean, there's something to that. So anyway, I don't know. I guess I don't have a great answer for why our country and not others, but it is pretty goddamn creepy. So, all right, next question.
Aloha. I guess I'm probably as far left as you can kind of be. Mm-hmm. Always respect you guys.
Hey, dude. All right, hold on.
Ignore the booze.
Look, man, hold on one second. He's here, dude. So he's here in a Ron Paul shirt. He's as cool a leftist as you can be, so give him that.
This is Abby Hoffman's house. This is his town. I have to ask, I guess, how big do you view Milton Friedman as controlled opposition against your guys' movement? Because I view him in the way of guiding, and not only guiding, but dictating all of the South American kind of policy that destroyed all of the revolutionary aspect of that.
Well, okay, so I think Milton Friedman was, you know, you start with what you know. He was wrong on a lot of shit, and he was right on a lot of stuff. Now, he was, I think, from my perspective, if you listen to Milton Friedman talk about broader philosophy, say if you listen to his like Donahue interviews or his anything like that, everything he's saying is great. And it makes a lot of sense. The idea that human beings should be free to interact with each other, to have free choices, to have free, you know, like all of that. If you actually look at what you get down to, like the technical stuff, and I'd recommend there's this speech that Murray Rothbard gave eviscerating Milton Friedman. Murray Rothbard on Milton Friedman. It's up on YouTube, and it's also up on the Mises Institute website. I'd highly recommend people go check that out, where he just goes through all of the things that Milton Friedman believed that were like really wildly incorrect. Now, in terms of whether he was controlled opposition, it's always hard to say with these things because, you know, you could say someone like Keynes or John Rawls or these guys, I don't think they were necessarily controlled opposition. I think they offered something that the bad guys were very happy to promote. You know what I mean? So were they working with them to promote that? I don't really know. But I think that people saw that as something they could exploit. And they certainly were very willing to compromise and cozy up to powerful people. Now, as far as the influence in South America, I mean, if you're talking specifically about like the Pinochet stuff and that.
No, I have nothing against, like, I like Hoppe. I respect what he was saying in the aspect that I have no ideological aspect of disagreeing with Hoppe, of that I would.
Sir, if you like Hoppe, you may not be as far left as you can possibly be.
I respect that I don't want you around me kind of aspect that Hoppe had.
Right.
But it wasn't actually enforced and substituted and funded by the actual CIA.
Like, okay, fair enough.
The Harvard boys were actually...
Yeah, okay, all right, fair enough. So, look, I'll say this. there's no question that those communist movements in South America found themselves on the opposite side of a fight with the CIA. There's no question about that. At the time, we were in the Cold War, and we were trying to stifle, when I say we, you know, the CIA and the military-industrial complex were trying to stifle every communist uprising around the planet. No question about that. However, that doesn't make them the good guys.
No, they're terrible.
Right. So I'm just saying that in the same sense that Stalin and Hitler were fighting each other, who was the good guy there? Oh, neither of them. They were both horrifically bad guys. So the truth is that the influence that Pinochet had from free market types made life for most people in Chile way better than it would have been if those communists had ended up winning. So I think anything that stifled those communist movements probably did more good than bad for those people. Now, did some people get thrown out of helicopters? Sure. And only 50% of them deserved it. But I'm just making the point, so I don't know. I don't really like, I'm sure the CIA was on the other side of that fight as those like far leftist groups. But as far as I'm concerned, they all deserve to lose.
Okay, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Novo. Novo is the number one business banking app because it's built from the ground up to be powerfully simple and a free business banking that Money Magazine called the best business checking account of 2021. With Novo, there are no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Novo offers in-app invoicing and reserves, which are buckets for big expenses or taxes. Sign up for free in under 10 minutes at banknovo.com/POTP. Then they'll send you a virtual card to use while your physical card is mailed to you. No delays. And here is a great bonus for our listeners, access to over $5,000 in perks, free and discounted accesses to services you already use, Stripe, Salesforce, QuickBooks, Snapchat, and Google Ads credits, and so much more. This year, get your free business banking account in just 10 minutes at banknovo.com/POTP. That's banknovo.com/POTP to sign up for free, and the only way to get access to the over $5,000 of perks and discounts I mentioned earlier just for signing up. Banknovo.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show.
Let's get the next question going.
Hey, Dave, big fan of your podcast.
Thank you.
I heard you a couple times speak on the podcast about how great Trump's slogan was, Make America Great Again. You know, America was great. It's not anymore. We can make it great again. But if you were to run for president, what would your slogan be?
All of the cocks!
I don't know. I don't have a slogan. Maybe Make America Free Again isn't a bad one. But I don't know. You're getting a little bit ahead of me now. But Make America Great Again really was a brilliant slogan. And I'll say that, like, you could hate Donald Trump, be the most anti-Donald Trump. You could still recognize. It's a pretty amazing thing to have to utter four words that convey so much meaning. You know, like, it's like a very specific thing. You're saying so much in just four words. You're saying that, like, first of all, I believe this country was great. Second of all, I believe this country is no longer great. And third, I believe we can make this country great again. It's a very powerful thing to just say in four words. And I remember thinking when Donald Trump's re-election slogan, I called this back in like 2019 or something, maybe 2018, was that Keep America Great. I go, that's just weak. Keep America Great is terrible. That doesn't speak, like the beauty of Make America Great Again is that you speak to everybody who's got national pride, nostalgia, any of that, but who is struggling. You speak to them, directly to them. Like, remember, it used to be great, which is, you know, it's never was as great as you remember, but that makes you feel good, you know? And then now we're going to do it again. You're going to get back there. You know, you have this nostalgic thing, and we're going to bring you back to that thing. That tugs at people. Keep America Great is like, isn't your life so great? That's what I'm offering you. And it's like, if your life sucks, you're like, fuck. That's your promise? I get to keep this? Like, my wife hates me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not as compelling. So I don't know. I could probably think of something better, but we'll have something at some point. Who's next, Rob?
I guess I'm next. Hey.
Hi.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
Probably won't get shot. Probably.
I'm hoping.
You were talking about like pregnant women and tampons. So I was just wondering, mm-hmm. do you know what a woman is? Because it seems like that's a confusing question.
Well, first of all, from my understanding, pregnant women don't require tampons. Those were two separate conversations. Am I a part of a Daily Wire documentary? What type of question is this? Or am I a Supreme Court nominee? Is that a woman? I don't know. Is this a real question?
What's a woman, Dave? Please.
What's a woman? A woman is a human being with an XY chromosome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
That's the answer. I'm sorry, XX chromosome. My God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I fucked that up royally. That's actually a man. XX chromosome is a woman. But I really am not a biologist. That's how much. I knew it was one. Man, I had a 50-50 shot of making myself look like an asshole just now. And I did it all wrong. An XX chromosome. Yeah, okay. So I'm not a huge fan.
I know. That's
why. Hey, Dave. Thanks for coming to Chicago.
Of course.
Earlier show, Robbie mentioned that I brought sandwiches. There were two sandwiches.
I got one of them.
I was worried that he ate both.
I got one of them. It was very good.
The second thing is I have a history book. I'm a historian. I got this. It's coming out July 4th. I got one copy for you, one copy for Robbie. I'm going to give it to you here.
Oh, awesome.
Also, Robbie wrote a blurb for it, so it's on the back. I think it should.
Wow, this book sounds like it sucks now.
No.
Read this one.
Very cool.
Read the blurb on the back. It's Robbie's.
All right, this is great. The blurb on the back is Robbie's.
It's at the bottom.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
At the bottom. This is the most important work of our lifetime. I just need to learn how to read first.
Perfect.
All right.
And Robbie's telling me I have to ask a question.
So that was the idea.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Did you see Top Gun, the second one?
I have not.
Okay. Did you see it, Robbie? No. Is it okay? Yeah, so the report.
When you first went, did you see Top Gun? Go, yeah, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Now, okay. So, the reports are that the Defense Department funded part of it. Could you be a libertarian and a good one if you liked it and yet knew that the Defense Department funded it?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's no problem. I mean, it might still be good to to know that and be against the Defense Department funding movies in general. But, like, I don't know, dude. I love 24. There's never been a more anti-libertarian message in any show than 24.
Dude, how much did you love torture watching 24?
Dude, the whole message of 24 would be like, look, people in three-letter government organizations torture people because they're great people, and we need to.
And it works so good.
And that's how you stop terrorism. And like there'd always be one person there who's like, I don't think you should torture anyone. This is wrong. And they're like, shut up, you dumb lefty. And then they like torture the fuck out of someone. And then he's like, he's clearly innocent. And there's just like this guy like, please don't torture me anymore. This is horrible. And they're like, you have to stop. You're so wrong. And then Jack Bauer like sticks a knife in his leg. And he's like, there's a nuclear bomb three blocks from here. And they're like, see, idiot, I just saved a million people's lives. Like that was. But it was really well done. Boop, boop,
boop. All right, you want to take two more?
Sure, sounds good.
All right, Dave, you've been famously hypothetical about running in 2024.
Yes, sir.
Of course, we all support you.
I'm not going to announce in front of 100 people in Chicago if that's what you're looking for. No offense.
But just hypothetically... What would be like the best possible scenario that you could imagine for a successful Dave Smith campaign 2024?
Well, be as successful as possible without fucking my
fucking
whole life
win.
Up,
that's
I
the
guess.
Answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the thing to me that's like the measuring stick is like
is what I always say it is. It's like to recreate the Ron Paul shit. So to get libertarianism back to the point where we're a major movement with enthusiasm behind us. That's my goal. That's always my goal. That's my goal, like, in what I do now. You know, it's like, this is just like, well, what's another way to make that happen? And I think that right now, like, it's a really incredible time where, like, I think the entire counterculture, what would really be like the counterculture today, like, is, and maybe you could argue if it's even the dominant culture or the counterculture, but I call it the counterculture because all of the powers that be are in the dominant culture. So if the dominant culture is like Fauci and January 6th was an insurrection and like all the things that the powerful, you know, like kind of, you know, forces in our society are pushing, the counterculture is all against all that shit. And
we are the counterculture.
Well, that's kind of the idea. But I'm talking about more than just like us right here. I'm saying like Joe Rogan is the fucking counterculture in America today. And those people are all basically right now for freedom, more or less. You know? Now, they don't exactly have like a strict, you know, libertarian theory behind that freedom. But I think that libertarians have a lot to offer them. Like, they've got this impulse toward freedom, and we've got the actual theory to give them. So that's kind of how I see this. I see libertarianism becoming, like, the next version of the Ron Paul revolution becoming the thing that sits at the forefront of, like, the counterculture, that really gets at, like, putting our ideas right at the head of the conversation that's going on with all of these people who are, like, really influential in the country right now. That's kind of my goal. So it's a little bit abstract. It's not like a very tangible, like, I want X amount of votes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's more like the, you'll see if there's like a huge amount of excitement about it, then I've done what I want to do. That's the best I could say. All right, Rob, what do we got?
All right, want to take one more?
One more, sure.
All right, here we go. I think this one might be a little obscure, but we'll find out.
All right, Mr. Smith, thank you for coming to Chicago. I've been watching you guys since last November.
Okay.
And became a fan instantly, so thanks for coming out. My question is, could be for both of you, but it's kind of more directed at you. I know that you have described the corporate media as kind of lacking in self-awareness, and that's definitely obviously how they come off. I guess I wanted to sort of, I don't know about challenge, maybe seek clarity. Do you think it's more being clueless or are they being intentionally kind of damaging and disingenuous on purpose? Like, I think Donald Trump is like a big example of that where, you know, you like him, you hate him. He clearly had a target on his head even before he was elected. And I just wanted to get your perspectives on how much of that is them being clueless versus them being dishonest. Because I know you know, met a lot of these people, worked alongside them. So this is open to both you guys.
Yeah. So just to be clear, right, like I've met a lot of people in the corporate media, but I've also like never, I haven't like risen to the top of corporate media, right? So
You've been at those orgies. Don't lie to them.
So I got like one hand job at the Bohemian Grove, but I'm not like a member. Like I was someone's guest. You know what I mean? But so like I'll tell you that there are people within the corporate media, in CNN and Fox News and stuff like that, who like would pass a lie detector test. Like they really believe the shit that they're saying. Now that doesn't mean, you know, human beings, as we all know in life, have a tremendous capacity to believe their own bullshit. So don't, like, underplay that. Donald Trump, it's not that everyone in the corporate media had to hate him because there was some conspiracy out to get him. There's much simpler answers for that. Donald Trump pissed all of them off. And, of course, like, as is true in a lot of different areas in life, people like to kind of, like, memorize what they know and then feel like they have real expertise. You know, that's like what human beings like. We all have that.
That's
impulse.
My radio career.
It's not. And you've done quite well.
Thank you.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, they like to go, look, this is my domain. I'm the one who knows about how this works. I'm the news person who knows about what the American people will vote for and what they won't. And then they saw this guy being like a brute. And it was completely against all of their kind of like liberal elite sensibilities. So you can't be that way. No Americans will vote for you. And then they voted for him. And then he was like, fuck you, motherfucker, they voted for me. And then they were so angry at him. So there's a lot of that. However, there's also, like, it's not like they're not one thing. You know, there's different people. There's also people who are being completely disingenuous. And that, like, there's people who know exactly what they're doing, and they're lying through their teeth, and they're trying to create an agenda. So my view of it is that there is a huge amount, probably the majority of them, are in their bubble, are kind of removed, are have a complete lack of self-awareness, and are clueless. And then they are infiltrated by individual members from, let's say, some three-letter organizations who know exactly what they're doing and are kind of leading them. So I think it's both a conspiracy and genuinely just people being completely out of touch. Like, but I don't think, you know, for example, like, I don't think SE Cup is a part of any conspiracy.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I know her, and, you know, I just, that was never the impression I got. The impression I got was she really believes what she believes. And she's just like, I don't know. You can kind of understand it once you meet them and get to know them. You know, you, so let's say, like, someone like SE Cup, she gets on the phone with someone who's like Dick Cheney's chief of staff. And he calls SE Cup to explain to her. Well, yeah, I know, sir. We all don't like her. But he calls SE Cup to explain to her what's going on in the conflict in, let's say, in 2017. This was Syria, right? And then she feels pretty cool about herself. Like, the former vice president's chief of staff. I just got on the phone with him, and he broke down for me what's going on. And now her sense of status is elevated, and because it's like, okay, yeah, you know, that's really cool. Like, I'm somebody, you know. And I'm not saying this is shit on her. I like Essie. It's like she was very nice to me. But then she's kind of married to the idea of believing that what he says is correct, because that's now intertwined with her own sense of like how I'm this person who matters. And then I'm some asshole comedian who's like, that guy's an idiot. And you're wrong about everything. And she's like, well, who am I going to believe? You? Or Dick Cheney's chief of staff, you know? And so she believes him, and I understand. But she just doesn't realize that I'm right about everything. And he happens to be wrong. But it's kind of like that. It's almost kind of like in the same sense I was talking about earlier. Like, well, you know, I was talking about my daughter's pediatrician or something. Like, who are you going to believe, Rob Bernstein or a doctor? You know what I mean? It's like, well, you can understand, seriously, though, where a regular person would go, I'm going to go with the doctor on this. But now we've had more evidence, and yeah, as freaky as it is, and it's terrifying, Rob knew more than the doctor did, you know? That's, All right, so I guess we'll wrap on that. Guys, thank you all so much for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. Chicago, next year, I promise you, we'll be back in Chicago. So thank you. Please come out again. All right, have a good night, everybody.